It's time for Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. A moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. Listen to real-life testimonies from women and men just like you who have gone from victim to victorious. Sit back, listen, connect in the chat room, and share the show with a friend. Here's your host, author, and motivational speaker, Nicole Cleveland.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Breathe Again, the radio show. I am your host, Nicole Cleveland, and we come to you and bring you victorious testimonies of faith from individuals just like you, those that have gone through the fire, come out the fire, and they're here to share their story so that you don't feel like you're alone and you're, you know, you don't know which way to go. So we bring you these stories so you can be encouraged, motivated, and inspired. Because trouble does not last always. It doesn't last always. And so we're just here to share these stories of faith with you so you know that there is an expected end and there is hope. Today my guest is cheat and abandon their family. Damage people, damage people. Raw, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you so much for joining us on tonight. We're so excited. I'm excited to just jump in here and talk about this book because, honey, let me tell you. You're more than welcome. Let's talk a little bit. Let's go back. Let's talk about why you wrote the book, because your first book was Confessions of a Cheating Man, and so then you brought In the Bed of a Broken Man to light. You took pen to paper, and you published In the Bed of a Broken Man. Why wasn't Confessions enough?
Because when I wrote Confessions of a Cheating Man, I basically bragged about cheating. I really didn't heal. I was still cheating. Actually, when I wrote Confessions of a Cheating Man, I was still a cheater. But I was writing down the things that I was doing. I first started writing like poetry about what I was doing. I used to go to poetry clubs and I would recite, you know, poetry about me being a cheater. People gave me claps and all that stuff, but deep down inside, I was a broken man. But I try to disguise it poetically. But I had problems. So I wrote Confessions of a Cheating Man based on that. But it wasn't a healing. It wasn't a healing. It was just aggravating the issue. So I had to come back with In the Bed of a Broken Man to let women, to come from the woman's perspective, to let women know that they're sleeping with broken men. And unfortunately, broken men break women if they're not strong. So this was the wife's response to Confessions of a Cheating Man, so to speak.
Yeah. Good. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Before we jump in, because I tell you, I got so many notes in this book right here, and I'll tell you, this is most likely going to have to be a two-part. We cannot get all of this done in one session. It's sort of like someone laying on somebody's couch. It just can't be done in one session. So we're going to have a part two to this. Raw, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about who you are? How would you describe yourself?
I consider myself to be like I'm a regular person. I just happen to be an author, and I write well. I write plays. I was born in New York. I was born in New York, and in New York, I had like a wild life. But I was always a writer. I used to rap and everything, and then turn it into poetry, and then I ended up coming to Virginia. And that's when my life really started propelling, because I started taking my life more serious, started writing more, and I'm just a normal person. I'm an author. I'm a playwright. It's not too much about me. I'm a hard worker. I'm a go-getter, and these are my stories because I'm a changed man, and every day I'm changing because now my relationship with God is better than it was. So I would consider myself to be a conscious and a God-fearing individual. Not too much, you know, ain't too much about me. I'm just a simple person.
You a hustler. That's what you are. You is a hustler. You make it happen. You really do. So,
yeah,
Raw, where did that name come from? What is Raw?
Raw. Well, my cousin gave me that name from, you know, my demeanor. He said I had a raw demeanor, so he used to call me Raw. But it happened actually be abbreviations of my name, Raja'i Abdullah Wahid. That's my Muslim name. That's I'm a Muslim, so that's my name. And the R-A-W is the abbreviations of it. So, but I also like to say that ready, able, and willing to change. So there's so many things you can use for R-A-W. It's not just raw like meat. You can use it for other, you know, acronyms.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also, listeners, if you're out there and you're listening right now, I want to encourage you to go online, and I want you to go connect with Raw. Go connect with him. He is out here. He is hustling. He really is, and he is spreading the news and sharing his story and being transparent in his brokenness and what he had to endure and what he went through in the process. And you know what? It's kind of hard to listen to, especially if you've been cheated on. But I tell you, listeners, I just want you to have an open mind when you're reading a book and when you are learning more about him and really understanding why some men, not all men, but some men do what they do. And Raw, how can they contact you? What's your website address?
Well, the website is www.4mysonspublishing.com. You can reach me online, For My Sons Publishing, or they can, you know, reach me on Facebook, Raja'i Abdullah, A-B-D-U-L-A, and I'm on also Off the Raja'i on Instagram.
Yeah. And all of the links will be connected to the show as well. And listeners, if you follow me, if you're connected with me, I'll be posting all of his links as well. So just let's jump right into the book. I'm going to read excerpts, and I'm going to ask you to actually talk a little bit about why you wrote what you wrote, why you felt the way that you felt. What are some of the things that women can be looking for, and you know, just breaking it down as far as what they're seeing, and maybe they need to move on, maybe they need to walk away. And so I'm going to ask you all those questions on today. The first thing I want to read is an excerpt, and it says, "I want to be as honest as possible with this confession. I didn't leave my wife each day with the intentions to cheat on her. Sometimes it just happened. At least this is what I told myself." And so I read that, and I said, Yeah, I understand you didn't leave with the intentions of cheating on her, but it just doesn't happen, right? Isn't it? It's kind of premeditated. You got to set it up. It just you just don't decide to be in a bed with another woman, right? Am I right or no?
Yeah, definite. It's
okay.
That was somewhat of a justification for my action because I said I want to be honest. I didn't. You know, I didn't have the intention to go out and cheat every day. It just happened. Well, at least that's what I told myself. Meaning that was a justification right there. Like, I knew that day I was going to meet so-and-so. I planned to meet A, and we went to B, and then C happened. All that was, like you said, premeditated. Of course, you don't know who you're going to meet that day. Other than who you plan to meet, but you run into people, you get numbers, and your intentions, you know, for the most part, our intentions be down the line to get intimate with the young lady. I know that was my intentions. I didn't need too many friends, so I can act like I wanted to be your friend at that time, but I knew my intentions was to get you down the line. And that was the disease mentality that I had at that
time. So I've read the book. I read the book from cover to close. And I will say that it read like a novel. I'll tell you, Raw, I had to take breaks some days. Sometimes I had to say, ooh, this is a little bit much. I would have to take a break and then come back to it. But it was real, raw, open, and it is what it is. And it is your story. So I want to thank you for your transparency. Because it's your story. Love it, like it, or leave it, it's your story. Let's talk about the confession because, listeners, the book is set up like confessions. So he gives confessions of what he's done and why he's done it, and he's being very transparent. So confession number 9, Raw, says, men do cry in the dark. And then you say, a sad soul is always up past midnight crying. Can you break that down for me?
Yeah, okay. Men got a lot of pride.
Mm-hmm.
Men got a lot of pride. But we also have a conscience. We also have a conscience. And sometimes we, you know, it stings our conscience what we're doing to our wives. It really do bother us. But when we cheat and the wife stays and she submits to it in a sense, we tend to have control. We love the control that we have. Like, I'm doing this, and she's still not going to leave. So we still love that control. But we also see how sad she is, and it affects us. But we can't let you know that it affects us because then we will appear weak. See, we don't like to appear weak, even though we are. When we cheat, we already have become weak. But we have to pretend that we're strong. And look, yo, I'm running this. We have to always have that demeanor. But at night, when I say at night, it don't literally have to be at night, like a nighttime.
Right,
but
I understand.
Behind closed doors, oh, man, what I'm doing to her is bothering me. That's when we have a conscience. It gets so bad that
But you keep doing it.
Yeah, it darkens our heart. And once it darkens our heart, we no longer have the consciousness or the care that we're hurting our wives. That's why we end up abandoning. Yeah, we end up abandoning our family.
So what was it? What led you to cheat? Because cheating, it's a choice. And you loved your wife. But you still did it, and it was, you said you didn't enjoy the chase because you enjoyed easy women, and you got them, and they were easy, and you didn't have to chase after them and wine them and dine them. You had a lot of people that just gave it up to you. What was it that kept drawing you away from your home?
I always look for excuses in her, like she wasn't doing this, she wasn't doing, but that wasn't the truth. My wife was doing everything that I asked her to do and more. The root cause, and I've recently learned this by writing a book and really finding this out within myself. The root cause of me cheating was disobedience, not being aligned with God. See, a lot of people don't want to hear the truth. They think it's just a religious talk, but it's real. If we don't respect God, because God gives us laws to live by, and if we don't obey them laws, what makes a woman think that we're going to obey the laws of a relationship or a marriage? We're not. Nobody can justify committing adultery. There's no justification. I don't care if your wife said, don't touch me. For the whole, I mean, that's a reason you got to find out why she don't want you to touch her. And that can result to a divorce, yes. But nothing justifies you going out, sleeping with somebody else, why you married. I can't justify it. I couldn't justify it. I'll stay here. And that's what a lot of women put up with it. But on the other hand, women are planning to escape. Women don't want to stay with that. They reach a point where, like, yo, I'm tired. And that's what she told me. Soon as somebody say out there, you're beautiful, and I can give you better than what he's doing, they're going to give a listening ear to that. And we men, we think that they're never going to leave us, but they will get tired and they will leave. I didn't talk to people who left after 25, 30 years.
Absolutely.
So it's a, you know, it's not a winning situation when you think you have another woman on the outside or other women on the outside and you still got your wife. That's not a winning situation. And it's a dark, it's such a dark and miserable situation. And the man be miserable himself. So he keep going to woman to woman to kind of like hide the feeling of being miserable because he's miserable.
So I want to jump into another confession you have, confession 13. Why did I like to sleep with other women? And you wrote, a cheating man is just bad-mannered, lacking in courtesy and credibility. They pay more attention to what they're missing rather than what they have and end up losing everything. Now, do you go out here and talk to these men and share your story? Do they share their stories of what they're going through? And is there some type of support system out here? Because there are so many men out here that are hurting, but because of the pride, they won't share.
They won't. See, the thing is, you have to come. The reason I wrote the book in the manner that I wrote the book, when I'm speaking about the episodes and what I did with the women and how I finessed them and how good I treated them and what I actually did to them in the bedroom. See, that was a door. I knew I had to write like that for people to even pay attention because men don't want to hear, look, you got to change. You got to stop cheating on your wife. Ah, man, I don't want to hear that. I wish I could get rid of my wife. That's what men be telling me on a regular basis. And that's a lot of men, not just one and two. I'm talking about most men who I try to sell a book to. They end up buying it, give it to my wife, or they say, I buy it to support you, but I can't let my wife read this. Because
I can see that.
It will cause her to start asking questions. And if she's being quiet, guess what? I want to keep her quiet. Now I support you. I support your hustle, and you know, as they say, I support your hustle. But I can't take this book home, so they end up leaving it in the car. But she end up finding it anyway and read it, and then start asking questions like, "Yo, you bought the book. You need to read it." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I try to talk to men. I try to talk to men, but I'm more like try to be an example. Because when you be an example, they pay attention. And they actually look, he going to slip. Wait, let a girl walk by him. He going to slip. He going to try to holler at her. But praise be to God, I'm past that stage. You know what I'm saying? So I know it's important for me to live what I write. Live what I confess. I can't just write about it and not live it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, there are some words, some harsh words that you describe yourself in this book. You say that you are mentally sick, you're broken, and you talk about you were damaged, and because you were damaged, you would damage other individuals. What was your turning point, Raw? What was that point that said, I'm sick, I got to get this fixed? Because at one point in the book, you were talking about, you were taking, I think it was Viagra, and so you were taking that every day. I was just like, what in the world?
that was a sick, you know, the thing was, that was really a sick period, right? Because I was literally, I really was like Eminem, like it, so my heart was, my chest was hurting. I never knew why my chest was hurting. I was like, okay, calm down. You know what I'm saying? It was tearing me up. And the effects of that, you know, I'm still trying to clear that out, my system, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? I don't use it now, but I'm just saying, I felt that I had to please these other women. More than I try to please my wife, because I didn't care if you were satisfied. As long as I came home, I laid with you, I played with you a little bit, and I was like, good night, baby. She felt content with that. I thought she was content, but she really was unhappy.
Oh.
But
right.
I'm thinking that I'm doing something by coming home still, you know, trying to satisfy her. But I became weak at home, and she wanted more. She was like, so that's all you got? So you can do all that running in the street, and this is what you're bringing me. So a woman get tired of that. And I was doing it by habit. It wasn't always by I needed to do it. I was doing it by habit. It was, I'm going to meet so-and-so later, so let me go and throw that in my system right now. Boop. So later on when I'm with them, oh, you ready? Gosh, you ready, baby? Oh, yeah, I'm ready. Let's go. But
oh, my goodness.
What
in the world?
You know, yeah, they ain't know I was taking the sick pill, I'll call it. They ain't know I was taking
right.
Oh, you the man, you know what I'm saying? He rocking me, and it did something to me. Like, I love him.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't want, that was the past. I don't want to,
Right, that was the past. We're going to leave that in the past. You are a changed man now. But I just wanted to just briefly discuss that because that was that sick mentality that you had, that you were just going to keep up with everything and everybody. And you were an equal opportunist cheater. You didn't have like a type.
Yeah.
You had, you was doing everybody.
If the tree would have moved wrong at that time, the tree probably would have got it. Yeah,
I know. And then at some point, you got both women pregnant. Your wife was pregnant. Your mistress was pregnant. But you know what I do want to talk about? There was one point in this book where you felt bad. You really, it was several times in the book you felt bad. But the one time you really felt bad and you were in a room with one of the girls and you said, no, I'm not going to do it. You were tired of hurting your wife and you left.
Yeah.
And I really thought I was rooting for you, my brother. I was like, he really want to do this. He wants to get it together. And he wants to fix it at home. And you stopped. You did not do anything that night. And then come find out later on, you started it up again. It was sort of like you wanted to do the right thing, but you just couldn't do the right thing. Was that the feeling you had?
The contradiction. I was living a contradiction. It's like because I was still like, and this is crazy, I was still like God conscious, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But
being
God conscious, and I learned this too. Being God conscious and God fearing is two different things. Everybody know God exists, but do you fear him and love him enough to stop doing what you're doing? See, and once I stop praying, that stopped the consciousness. You know what I'm saying? That stopped the fear. See, the fear, the love, the prayer brings you closer to God. So once you stop praying, you get further from God, and the further away you are from God, the more conscious, the less conscious you become or care about what you're doing because you don't think about there's going to be consequences for this. And once you get that there's no consequences for my actions out of our mind, then we're going to be reckless. And that's what made me reckless because I stopped being conscious or I stopped caring about what God thought. It was always about what I thought and what I wanted. So what God wanted for me, I'm okay right now. Let me just keep pacifying my desires.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, Raw, women listen to my show all the time. Women are going through obstacles and struggles in their lives, and they are on the verge of giving up because their man is cheating on them or their husband is out here betraying them or they just found out about a betrayal. What advice would you give that sister that knows that their spouse is cheating and they are miserable at home? What advice would you give her? Keep hanging on or leave? Or
no,
what would you say to her?
No, I would never one advice I would never tell a person is to leave, to divorce. Now, separation, that's something different. But to divorce, see, you have to talk to the man and let the man know, look, I know that you're cheating and you're hurting me. Not only are you hurting me, you're destroying our family. And I will not.
But wait a minute, Raul. I'm going to have to interject. I'm going to have to interject you right now because isn't that what your first wife did to you? She did that to you. She said that to you, and you still continued.
But you, no, listen, I know, but I ain't tired of leaving, but, you know, that's what she wrote. But the truth is you got to have force behind your words, and you got to stand upon it. But not only that, when she, you have to let a person know when you're in a relationship and when you're about to get married and all that stuff, look, I'm not tolerating cheating. See, the thing is, a lot of people go into a relationship wrong. So if you go into a relationship wrong and then later on you're going to try to tell me, hey, you got to stop cheating or I'm leaving you, eh, so what? But you have to go into the relationship right. Look, this is what I'm standing upon. We stand in the, even though people in the church or in religious folks, they still cheat on their wives. But you still got to get out of ground. Look, this is not what I'm going for. So if you don't value me enough to be truthful to me and to stop cheating, I'm leaving you. I just want you to know I'm leaving you. It's going to be hard. I know it's going to be hard for the woman to say that, but she has to really say that. And mean it, because we're going to say that. You cheat again, look at that. Oh, you already given me the door right there. If you cheat again, I'm going to leave you. If you cheat again. You didn't already told him, go ahead and cheat again. Basically, you tell him, go ahead and cheat again and see what happens. So you're giving me an ultimatum? So he's going to do it out of pride. He's going to do it out of pride. So you have to really put your feet down. The advice that I give the woman is you sit with your man and you tell him the problem and how it is affecting you and how it's affecting the family and how it can change the dynamics of our whole marriage if you don't stop cheating.
So when did you turn around? When did you decide to get it together? When did you say, I'm not going to cheat again? I'm going to do this the right way.
You mean after I lost my wife? Or you talking about while I was in my marriage?
Was that turning point?
It was after I lost my wife.
Okay.
After, the way it ended with me and my wife, is she started seeing somebody. And she said, look, I have a friend now, and I'm not in love with you no more. She literally told me, I am not in love with you no more. So if you want to keep on doing what you're doing, just do it. Just do it. Just let me go. If that's what you want to do, do it. I don't care. Look, I'm happy. I got a friend. Wait a minute, you got a friend. We married. See, men can't take it. Men can't take what they dish out. No man can take what they dish out. Let a woman come home and say, look, I have a friend now, so all the time you're staying out late, let me know if you're going to stay out late so I can go see my friend. If a woman tell a man that, a man would go crazy. A man would probably stay in the house with you saying something like that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, she told me, look, I have a friend, so if that's what you want to do, go ahead and do it. As long as you take care of your children, and I'm good.
Yeah.
So it
got
me wondering. I'm out, and I'm like, I'm calling her. She's not picking up the phone. Guess what? I'm going home early tonight. Going in a little early, you know. You went kind of early. Yeah, business was a little slow, but hey, what's for dinner? I'm home. Because now I'm trying to save.
Well, it's too late.
But it's too late.
Yeah.
It's too late. And because once a woman is tired, she's tired. And once she already show you, go ahead, I got a friend, keep doing what you're doing. By that time, she had already made plans to get away from you.
Right. So that was the point where you decided you wanted to do it right. So the next time, because you are remarried, and you decided to go into this relationship, this marriage, the right way. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. But the changing point was not just the relationship aspect with the woman. It was the relationship that I lost with God. I know that if I turn to him, he'll forgive me. Because all along I was thinking I was too filthy to turn to him and say, forgive me. That's what I kept telling myself. I can't pray now because I'm dirty. I'm dirty.
Right,
and
right.
I kept telling myself this. And the more I kept telling myself, the deeper I got in sin. See, we don't want to associate cheating with sin. We think cheating is just, I'm cheated, so what? But it's sin.
Absolutely.
And sin pollutes us. It destroys the soul. But we're not concerned with our soul because we just live so much for the world.
Satisfying that flesh. Satisfying that flesh.
And we forget all about our soul. We forget about all the damage that we're doing to our soul. So I had to repair my soul. And I know repairing my soul, I had to reconnect with God. So that was my changing point, reconnecting with God. Because, yes, I dabbled with other relationships after I got divorced, but I reached a point like, oh, wait a minute, I got to stop this. So I was in a relationship, let's say maybe for 3 years, and I was like, I can't touch you unless we're going to get married. But unfortunately, that relationship that I was in, it didn't lead to the marriage because of, for whatever reasons, it didn't lead to marriage. But I still protected my celibacy. I just stayed celibate. And I was celibate up like 4 years until I got married.
Really?
After all the cheating,
you decided to be celibate until your next marriage.
I got married, yes. And
well,
I was celibate.
Ain't there something?
Yeah, it's that fear and it's that love. You got to associate the fear and the love together, and you got to have that of God. Because if you're not fearing God, you're challenging God. It's either one or the other. You're going to challenge God or you're going to fear God. And fear is akin to love. So you fear him, you love him. You love him enough to fear him. And that's what I had to put in my heart. And I know that my heart had to change. Because I'm still in my flesh. So I'm still prone to sin, so to speak. But my choices are different because now my choices are based on my love and approval of God.
I love it, love it, love it, love it. Well, that has been our time, Raw. Oh, my goodness. And I still got all these sticky notes in this book. That's why I said we're going to have to do this in two parts because I know once we release this show, we're going to get so many questions. And then I can see you coming back just answering questions for individuals because folks want to know. Yeah. So, Raw, how can people purchase the book? I know they can get it on Amazon, they can get it on your website, but tell the listeners one more time how they can reach out to you as well.
Okay, if you want to reach out to me direct, you can get me on Facebook, Rajae Abdullah. That's RajaeE Abdullah, ABDULA. Off the Rajae on Instagram. For My Sons Publishing, that's the number 4, mysonspublishing.com, because I have 4 sons, so that's what made me think of that, For My Sons, publishing.com, or you can call me direct, 804-2511. I can send the book out to you the next day if you order it from me. It's, just different ways you can get in contact with me.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for stopping by the show today. It's been fun. It was like we chatted and we were old friends. So thank you
so much
for your transparency
and for sharing your story.
You're more than welcome. All right, listeners, that has been the time for today. I need to go drink some water. This book right here, it reads like a novel, but it is for mature audiences, so I will let you know that right now. It is called In the Bed of a Broken Man, The Untold Truth About Why Husbands Cheat and Abandon Their Family. Damaged People, Damaged People. Go on Amazon or mysonspublishing.com. Support this effort, support what he's doing, and find out why did he cheat? Why did he do what he did in the way that he did it? So it's his story, it's his truth now. So if you're going through something, if you're dealing with something, I just want y'all to know that God is in control. He is in control. And you may be listening right now and you may feel like you're on the verge of giving up. And this interview right here may have uncovered some wounds and took you back and released a trigger or two from the hurt and the pain that you have dealt with. But I do want you to know that God is a healer. He is a healer. All right, listeners, God bless you. Thanks so much for stopping by and hanging out with us. I hope you were blessed. I know I was blessed as well. Real, raw, and authentic. That's what that was. And that is from Raw. That's his name is Raw, In the Bed of a Broken Man. All right, I never say goodbye. I always say until next time. God bless you and have a super, super fabulous evening. And don't forget to check us out online, breatheagainmagazine.org, or you can connect with me at NicoleCOnline.com. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at Breathe Again or at Nicole C. Online. Share the show with somebody. Let somebody know that they don't have to stay broken and they don't have to stay where they are at and they will make it. God bless you and have a super, super fabulous evening.